You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
Welcome to Side B of this week's Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host. I'm not your host, Armand. Man, you know, I'm just so ingrained.
That's how you know that we are the prototype of Clock. We're the new class act.
The new class act. We've switched.
Go ahead. You, Armand, wake up. Tell them all your information, yo.
Nah, I'm Doc underscore Beats on Twitter.
I'm not a Doc Z. Underscore Beats.
Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. You are not the rap game Duncan Penderhughes. You can listen to lots of tomfoolery and shenanigans and brouhahas on Saturday.
Why am I Blade Brown?
I'm saying I'm the nerd. You don't want to be the nerd? Makes sense. You thought you were Duncan Penderhughes.
No, I'm laughing because just on a completely different note. Excuse me. I just saw there's a picture on Up North Trips of the Clips in like these 4X sweaters, and Malice is wearing a sweater that says "There's no business," and Pusha's sweater says "Like snow business." Jeez.
Oh. Nothing like, he might as well just said, feds, call us.
Yeah. We sell cocaine.
Anyway, he is Armand Waco. I am Dot. This is Clock Radio Speakers. Go to clockradiospeakers.com. We had a rollicking side.
It's hilarious.
Catch it on clockradiospeakers.com.
It's always funny. Shout out to Priest and shout out to everybody who like randomly tells me just the things that we say on the show, and I don't even realize how funny they are. How, I guess, when we talked about Flex last week, we came to the conclusion that Flex just says things.
Yeah.
And then I think you said, I know that and you know that, but does Flex know that? I'm like, did we say that? I have it's that all the time.
It's kind of funny. So we talked about a lot of random stuff, a lot of like little random things going on side A, but we've got some actual projects to talk about.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's start with your man, Dwayne Carter.
Wheezy F Baby, and the F's for phenomenal.
You know, that's not the worst spelling mistake that's happened.
What is what? NXET or BRID in the SKY?
Oh, I forgot about BRID in the SKY. Yeah.
Yeah, K Solo. Yep, spellbound.
You know what though? These kids don't know about those mistakes. So it's
nobody knows who K. That's sad. We live in a world where nobody knows who K Solo or Warren G is.
No, people know who Warren G is because they know what Regulate is. But
no, they know Regulators. But do they know Regulators and they know Nate Dogg? But do they know Warren G?
Oh, that's sad.
Why would they know it was a clear black night, a clear black moon? Listen, if you were over 27 and you can't rap and sing the entire Regulator song, there's something wrong with you. Like, you just need to like live your age over. Like, you just need to be held back in age a few years.
If you're our age, that's a good litmus test. If you're like a single guy, actually a single girl as well. If that's a good litmus test, like if you like try to test a date with a couple lines from Regulate and they can't finish it off, you're probably too young.
Oh. We gotta talk about that off air.
Oh no! Yeah. So you're doing Clear Black Moon, and she's just like, "A word?
Was it the summertime?" She's asking questions about the scenery.
Oh no!
Don't is there really Eastside Motel?
Say it's not true, Armand.
Oh man, I know. I can confirm nor deny. All right, Dwayne Michael Carter, let's go.
Sorry for the wait, too. Why do we have an album from him? What's going on with him?
So, Wayne is in a heated battle for his soul.
Dun, 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 dun. Okay.
I thought you were playing down bottom. He's in a heated battle for his soul with Brian Baby Williams, a.k.a. Birdman Daddy Fly in Any Weather. A.K.A. Mr. Lugs.
Mr. Lugs. I thought you were going to start doing the no, I thought you were going to... You could just start doing the Chris Rock thing from T-2000. A.K.A. the Say Hey Kid. A.K.A. Wow. Yeah, nobody knows about that skit.
Wow.
We're going
real. See, everybody knows about the Chris Rock skit from Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Yeezy,
but before that, there was the T-2000 Judgment Day Chris Rock skit. Go listen to that album.
That
it's
album,
about time to pull out Sweet Love, isn't it?
It's about that time to listen to my Wu-Tang Romance Spotify playlist.
Yes, it is.
See, I have a feeling if you play that for this apparent someone who does not know the words to Regulate, she's going to be like, what's this?
Oh, she's going to be offended by Ice Cream.
Listen,
Strawberry, like this is not gonna work.
And I think I even took off some of the more offensive ones. Like, there's nothing from Bobby Digital on there.
I was gonna say, you didn't put domestic violence on there.
Oh, God. Can you imagine if Bobby Digital attempts to come out with that record in 2015?
Fam. You ain't me. Your mama ain't me. That beat was terrible.
No, that beat is great.
That beat is terrible. That song is terrible.
Considering it came out in 99, that is not a bad beat for 1999. There's a lot of bad beats in 1999.
See, there was this point where, like, because of Can I Get A, all East Coast rappers felt like they had to do a bounce song.
Can you bounce with me?
Yeah, so that's why when you hear Cameron say, when we start bouncing, he's talking about that. So, like,
Cameron take shots at Jay-Z? Never.
Never. No. I heard him wrong. I'm sorry. That wasn't Cameron shooting at Jay-Z. He'd never do that.
Anyway. He'd pay
homage to the king of rap.
Dwayne Carter. Sorry for the way, too. He's trying to... He's mad at Baby.
He's mad at Baby because he won't put out Carter 5. Carter 5 apparently has been done. They won't put a date out on it, but they are putting out these Rich Gang mixtapes with Young Thug and... Rich Homie Quan, which apparently are doing very well because I think the first one had Lifestyle on it, right?
Yeah.
So Baby is putting all his resources towards that. Wayne can't get a date originally. Originally, I know Cortez, who is Wayne's manager, was doing Damage Control, saying everything is fine. He comes back later and says, hey, you know, free C5. Like, so between him, Wayne, and MacMan, like, they're really... Cash Money is really split up. So within maybe 2 weeks of all this coming out, 2 or 3 weeks, we get Sorry for the Wait 2. Mm. So Sorry for the Wait came out before Carter 4, right?
That's right.
So I wonder why Wayne hasn't done a No Ceilings 2. Does he just understand? Does he just not even want to attempt to, like, reach for that bar?
I don't know. I think he's got enough brands that he has to keep pumping out.
Right.
Carter, whatever. Sorry for the Wait, whatever. Yeah, I guess that would be right up his alley.
No. Yeah, no sense. I can see him doing a No Ceilings 2, like, his first, like, right before his first album, Post Cash Money or something like that, just to you know, symbolize freedom or something like that.
See, that what's unfortunate is, like, if this were 2000 or 1999, this totally would have been called Sorry for the Wait 2000, which would have been amazing.
Sorry for the Wait. Oh, rappers. Oh, we are terrible.
Oh, awful. So before we talk about Star for the Wait 2, I think we might have touched on this before, but why do you think Wayne can't get a release date?
You know, I don't know. I think Wayne, if I had to point to something, it would be that Wayne has a hard time with his image, his public perception. Mm. Well, not Wayne has a hard time with it. The public has a hard time with their perception of Wayne. When Wayne came out and said that he was the greatest rapper alive, after spending a good chunk of time rapping his heart out, those squad mixtapes, the first dedication, vintage Wayne, classic Wayne, far and away the peak of Wayne's career lyrically. Then I think he did Best Rapper Alive on what, Carter 2, I think?
Think so.
Was what that song was on. But then right after Carter 2 dropped, there was a little dip in lyrical, schmerical, acrobatical, semantical, you know, sentences for your litmuses. I don't know. And so that kind of rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And I just think he never really recovered from that. Plus, you know, a lot of people consider Carter 2 to be his best album. So it's like right after you announce you're the best rapper alive, then your music kind of dips in content or dips in quality. So I think his public persona never recovered from that.
Interesting. I think it's really just a problem. Like, so I'm looking at how much his albums have sold. So Carter 3 came out in 2008, has massive singles.
Yeah, Carter 3 went platinum in a week, right?
Ended up going 3 times platinum. Sells 3.8 in the U.S., right?
Yeah.
Carter 4 debuts at number one, obviously. Carter 4, 2011, again, big single. She Will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Record was dope.
2 times platinum. 2.2. US 3.
That song went 2 times platinum?
No, I mean the album, right? So I'm Not a Human Being 2, which admittedly is not a Carter album, right? But it's an album, only went gold. But record sales have slipped a little bit. I mean, it's been 3.5 years since Carter 4.
Uh-huh.
I think he doesn't have a single or singles. Like, they're not going to... Why would they put out Carter 5 unless they think it can go 2 or 3 times platinum? And unless you're Taylor Swift in 2015, right? In 2015, that means he's got to have massive singles.
Yeah.
We haven't seen any record of that.
I agree with that.
And in fact, let me go look back at Carter IV. So 6 foot, 7 foot, John, How to Love, She Will. I mean, what that album does without She Will as a single, I don't know. I mean, How to Love did okay. I should give it credit. Like, How to Love peaked at number 5. Like, that actually really worked.
Yeah, that did a lot better than I thought it was going to do.
Right. Baby's not going to put this out unless it's got singles. And right now, Rich Gang has singles. It's the same problem Tyga has.
Who?
Right.
That worries me because I think Tyga probably has singles. It wouldn't surprise me if Tyga had like a DJ Mustard record or something that was...
Right. And you might be right. I think... I don't know. I think... when was the last Lil Wayne song you really enjoyed?
I got to look up his discography.
I was going to say...
You're going to have to pause the show.
The fact that it's not off the tip of your tongue is a problem.
Have I been like actively listening to Lil Wayne music? Truffle Butter? Here we go. I'm Not a Human Being 2 came out in 2003. 2013. I don't remember any of these songs. I remember liking the record with Gunplay.
No Worries.
I remember liking that. Nah, I never liked No Worries.
What?
Nah.
What about Rich as F?
Nah.
What about Love Me?
I don't remember Love Me.
Long as these...
Oh, nah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
I'm looking. I liked It's Good.
So anyway, long story short, because we should talk about the mixtape, but like basically I don't know. I think like Wayne thinks that because he's Wayne, he'll come out and he's just going to sell.
Oh, I liked Believe Me. I'm bugging. I liked Believe Me a lot.
Believe Me's all right. It wasn't enough.
Yeah, because I love that Wayne verse.
Believe Me
For
a Wayne and Drake collaboration, that really underperformed, right?
It did. I mean, but you're coming off of She Will. Their records, their collaborations are like more street anyway.
I mean,
like
Love
they
Me.
they don't really do like pop collaborations.
Because
from the beginning, you got Ransom, Ignorant-ish. You got Love Me, but the majority of them are like more harder
successful
street records. I hated Wayne on.
Oh yeah, So you Far know what? Gone. Save it because we're gonna do a So Far Gone retro.
All right,
yeah. I don't even want to hear that nonsense right now.
That is not nonsense, bro.
Anyway, so long story short, I just don't think he's got hit singles right now. Like, I think we're now past the point where you can just assume if Lil Wayne puts it out, people will make it go number one.
People will download it, but I don't know if they necessarily buy it.
Right. I think we're past that point. It's not that he can't rap anymore. Because I'll tell you, there's actually some songs on Sorry for the Way 2 that I kind of liked. I just don't, I don't think, like, it's a sports analogy, right? Like, I think he's just kind of, he's like an aging sports guy now. You know, like, he's just not he's not peak Wayne anymore, right? Mm. And I don't know if he knows that yet. I think Birdman knows it. Right. Otherwise, these rich gang beats would be, they'd be throwing them at, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Much like how once upon a time they used a bunch of Drake records to give, you know, gave him to Wayne. Like, it's really interesting. The fact that he's not just, you know, taking some of these Young Thug records and giving them to Wayne is really interesting. You know what I mean? Like, he's basically like, no, we're going to let, you know, we'll let Young Thug was just going to do his thing. So Sorry for the Way 2. Is there anything you really liked on this?
I need to pull up a track list. I'm like, I'm bugging. I liked, man, what did I like on this?
I like Trap House.
I don't remember Trap House.
Even though it's a dumb title, I like Selsun Blue.
I like Selsun Blue. That was the one over the Troy Ave beat, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And I like that one.
I like Fingers Hurting.
I liked Coco was cool. Coco was cool. The Drake record is cool.
It's cool. It's a throwaway.
Yeah, it's a throwaway.
Drunken Love. Drunken Love, I was like, nope.
Oh, that was, whoa. Oh, don't do that.
Right.
Yeah, don't do that. Mm-mm. Like, that just wasn't a good look. Like, people just weren't. Like, you can't redo a Beyonce and Jay-Z record as another couple. Like, the public's just not going to let you get away with that. Especially being Christina Milian. Like, uh-uh. Like, that just wouldn't have worked. The only other person to redo that record would have been like a Rihanna or somebody who's, you know, presumably on Beyonce's level. That wouldn't have looked right at all. So, nah. And plus, it just wasn't good.
Right. I mean, that was the real problem. It wasn't good.
Yeah, I was talking about everybody else. But in terms of Clock Radio Speakers, yeah, the song just wasn't. wasn't good. I didn't even hear Wayne's part. I just heard Christina on it, and I was like, skip. I think for me with these projects, it just shows me like, hey, Wayne can rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, Wayne was rapping on here.
Yeah, there's some, like I said, like, sell some, like, there's records on here where I'm like, oh, Wayne's Karen right now.
Yeah, and I'll say that Wayne did not have as many references to female body parts as he had in previous projects. Like, every other line was about that. Ah, see how I maneuvered around that? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he's got some, yeah, like, he was rapping on there. So, you know, for me, I'm not going to listen to, especially with it being 17 tracks, like, I'm only going to listen to this a few times. Like, all right,
Wayne, like you said, listen, initially, I could see the air quotes. You're like, I'm not going to, like, listen to this.
Nah, what you mean?
Just kidding.
Oh. all right, that threw me off. But yeah, it was cool. Was there anything else that you liked?
I liked a couple records. I mean, nah, it was good. You know, I didn't really need to hear the record with Christina Milian. You guessed it. Eh. I don't really need to hear Mac Maine on anything ever.
When he started singing, it was funny.
No, I was good. You know, it's too long, but you know, it's a Lil Wayne mixtape. Like, you know, I don't know.
He's gonna give you
right. It was like, you could really tell it was a lot of, like, I mean, well, I'll give him credit. Like, there was definitely like a lot of references to the title of the mixtape. But I'm assuming that really just meant that he went through a bunch of stuff that were like that he had in iTunes that he knew them, and he just went back and recorded a little thing over the top.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else you want to say about Wayne?
Let me look at my notes. Oh, that's what I want to talk about.
Yeah.
So in trying to get off Cash Money, Wayne is suing Cash Money for $8 million in old money, and then for him to release the album. Now we didn't even talk about, you know, him like consistently dissing Cash Money on this album, like on this project. Like, he dissed him a lot. I don't know if I want to read all this stuff. But there's one line that he says on Coco. Well, he says, I ain't tripping. I got Barbie and I got Drake, too. And he's basically saying that if he leaves Cash Money, he's taking Nicki Minaj and Drake with him. Now, that must mean that they're signed to Young Money, right? They're not signed to Cash Money. They're signed to Young Money.
I mean,
but Young Money's a byproduct of Cash Money. So, right, like, how would that work?
I mean, look, I don't know. I admit I don't know the exact specifics of how Young Money is configured. I assumed it was always just a boutique label, you know?
Does that also mean Jay Mills is coming with him, too?
The whole squad. No.
And Birdman is left with Paris Hilton and Fred Durst.
Right.
Who else was signing him? Tierra Marie. Who else was signing Cash Money? It was like random people. Like, right. Enrique Iglesias, like, just like random people. Jay Sean.
I
down.
Right. If Young Money is anything, to me, it's one of two ways. Either Young Money is really just like a vanity label, and it's really all just Cash Money. Like, okay, that makes total sense to me. In which case, I really, really wish we could have like video cameras there when somebody breaks it to Wayne that you don't actually own Young Money. Right. Like, Young Money is just like, you know, it's fake. It's fake. Right. Or somehow Birdman has and Cash Money have completely screwed things up. Right. But if that's the case, you wouldn't need all this. You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, you know, the only thing I can think of is, you know, Birdman and Cash Money are notorious for not really paying artists. So it could be that. I know. It could be that one way to keep Wayne happy was to really give him like some sort of ownership over this stuff. But I don't know. That would be just a terrifying mistake on his part.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we all know that Drake's contract situation is just messed up anyway. Like, I suspect trying to unravel who's actually signed through who and who actually gets a cut of what thing is, there are definitely some lawyers making money off this.
Right.
I don't know. I suspect the answer is they'll release it at some point, but they need a reason to release Carter 5. Like, now, what's the reason? What's the song? Like, what are they doing? You know?
I don't know.
Unless they pull like a wrestling maneuver, you know, where the lawsuit becomes the hype. Oh, we're forcing them to release it.
Right.
You know, they've got to have a move here.
Right.
Because it'll be really embarrassing for Wayne if what happens is Birdman's like, okay, fine, you know, I don't want to pay all these lawyers. We're going to release it. And then it's just clunk.
Right.
All right. Anything else you want to say about Wayne?
Nope.
So we've had some people ask us to talk about your man.
Nah, this is not my man. Cause.
No? Joey Badass?
Nah.
Badass, not my man, cause. Badass Billy Gunn?
They just wrestled on Sunday, just an FYI.
Are you kidding me?
They were at the Royal Rumble. Yes, they were.
They should be ashamed of themselves. Not them. Vince.
Yo, Vince.
We'll talk. We can roll that
talk,
in later.
We'll talk about that in a minute. I'm gonna go on my rant, son. I'm gonna go on my rant.
We had some people ask us to review Joey Badass's album. Before the money.
Mm-hmm.
I admit I have really ignored Joey Badass to this point.
Me as well. I always treated Joey like a lot of people liked him because of like what he represented rather than what he actually did.
Right. That's really interesting that you say that. And so
isn't it?
You're doing the Mr. Burns thing with your fingers right now.
Excellent.
I was pretty shocked when just before the show I went on Hits Daily Double and I saw that Joey Badass outsold Lupe first week.
Yeah.
Lupe's first week was 32.
Uh-huh.
Joey's was 50. Now,
I wonder why did Lupe sell so low? All that Twitter stuff like really like backlashed on him?
No. I'm sorry, does Lupe have a single right now? Like, what are they playing on the radio? Like,
I mean, but Lupe only has 30,000 dedicated fans.
I have so many things I could say about that statement right now.
Can I say that the cool, I don't want to call it perfect.
It's not. No.
But it's really, 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 really good.
You might be overrating that.
It's really, I just listened to it last week. It's really good. I didn't skip anything. The only reason why I didn't listen to Superstars is because I wanted to hear the remix with T.I. and Jeezy. When T.I. got out of jail and he was like rappity rapping.
I hate the hook on Superstar.
Oh, you're killing me.
Oh,
the cool. Oh, Paris, Tokyo. Oh, put you on game. Might be one of the best lyrical performances.
Double Down. I love Double Down.
Dumb It Down was crazy.
Dumb It Down's good.
Shout out to Jim Stones. Like, crazy, crazy record. But anyway.
So Joey.
Joey.
So, Joey does 50. Joey does 50K, which, you know, considering what his sound is like.
Absolutely.
It's pretty astonishing.
Absolutely. Uh-huh.
He is unapologetically a 90s throwback.
Yep.
And he's selling better than some of the 90s throwback artists are selling for their records they're putting out right now.
And who is that?
Oh, I could just pick. Outside of, say, Jay and Nas, I'm guessing if you picked almost anybody who you might consider a 90s rapper who's still around.
Oh, okay. That's what you were saying. Gotcha. Okay.
What's ironic, right, is a lot of these old guys are chasing the new sound.
What is the new sound?
Trying to make that trap music, man. That kid music. I'm just kidding. Like, it's funny to hear, like, say, to see Busta Rhymes promoting Coco, right?
You use worst case scenario.
And then, Joey Badass sells 50K making records that sound Busta Rhymes would have rapped over 20 years ago.
Would have been on the coming. Yo, right. Don't listen.
Listen.
Busta.
Big Bang Busta Rhymes. That's
when Busta. Okay, yeah, Big Bang. We still need to do a Busta Rhymes retro, too. Write that down, because I know we were talking about that. We need to do a Busta Rhymes retro.
Write that down. I'm Busta, not your secretary, bro.
Hey. Bro. Hey, young, it's me, bro. Favorite ad-lib.
Guys,
every one of Petey Pablo's ad-libs on Freakily. Okay, see, this is why the show, I'm the reason why the show gets random. I just realized it. I'm the reason why the show gets random. I go on a tangent, you pick up, and we just go somewhere, and then you have to bring us back home. I knew Busta Rhymes had a problem when he rapped over the Laffy Taffy remix. I remember that period, 2005, where he was like taking every popular song on the radio and on mixtapes and rapping over them unofficially and sending them out to DJs? He was like bombarding into dudes' studio sessions. Yo, let me get them sessions, fam. And because he was Busta Rhymes, people were like, here you go, sir.
Here he goes.
Hello.
So Joey Badass. Gonna try to get through this. So this album has been, like, apparently long in the making.
Yeah.
Like, he released a bunch of records off this that I, of course, ignored because I've ignored everything Joey Badass up to this point. Before you listen to this, what were you expecting?
A really good Duck Down Records impression.
Mm.
I was just expecting, like, Starang Wonder. Over like Beat Miners beats. I honestly wasn't expecting much. I was expecting a bunch of Static Selector. And for whatever reason, like, Static Selector makes like almost dope beats.
Yes.
Like almost Precisely. Dope. Like they're right there, but then it's like something. I don't know if it's the mix. Maybe his like he uses his, clean
his drums. His drums aren't dirty. They don't hit enough.
They're not dirty enough, right?
Right.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, they're super clean. They're almost dope. So I'm like,
you ever hear of the phenomenon called the Uncanny Valley? You heard of this?
No, I haven't.
Mm-hmm. So it's when, like, computer graphics get, like, if you sort of graph, like, how real they look, there's a point just before they look actually real where they almost get a little too plasticky and they look a little too, and, like, it's basically when something is so lifelike, but not quite, and your brain, like, immediately just picks out all the flaws.
Mm-hmm.
Static Selector is in the uncanny valley of, like, it's so close, but it's too close that all my brain can hear is all the problems.
Mm.
And Static Selector's got a couple records on here. Not surprising. We can go track by track, but we can be really brief. You cool with that?
Yeah, we can go track by track. That's cool.
Track one, Save the Children, produced by Static Selector. It's a cool song.
Yeah, straight.
You know, the way I describe it is pretty much how I would describe, I don't know, at least half this album, which is the beat is kind of a throwback and the rhymes are cool.
Yeah.
We get an interlude, Greenbacks, produced by Lee Bannon.
Uh-huh.
Super familiar sample. And it's an interlude.
Yep.
But let's talk about Paper Trails.
Okay.
Produced by Primo.
Oh, Primo did this?
Primo did this.
Okay.
To me, this is, like, exactly what Joey Badass wants to be. It's weird that we now have kids 10 years younger than us who grew up, like, I probably idolizing, like, older brothers or whatever who listened to hip-hop in the 90s, and they still want that Primo beat.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, he puts the Primo beat at track 3.
Of course. You don't waste time with that.
And let me say this much. I actually like it.
That's cool.
Oh, I like this record. I like this record. This record's good. Kind of, I don't know. My problems with Primo in modern days are well documented. But, like, I almost want, like, one of these days, he's going to give us one of those throwback, like, 1998 Primo beats. And I'm just going to have to be, like, committed to a mental hospital. Like, I'm not going to know what to do with myself.
I was just listening to the full clip the other day.
Like, he's going to break out something like All City the Actual. And I'm just going to, like...
All City Crew.
Right. That beat is...
You know what? I'm not big on that beat like you are.
Shut it. Shut your mouth. Beat is practically perfect.
Nah.
Oh, God, don't do
nah.
it.
Anyway. No. JFK to LAX.
All City the Actual is way better than JFK. JFK to LAX isn't even in the top 5 on that album.
It's my favorite.
That's real funny. That sample.
Chill out. I'm going this. Okay. Above the Clouds, Royalty, Work, The Militia, What I'm Here For, Make 'em Pay.
Make 'em
Betrayal.
Pay. Make 'em Pay.
Yeah. Dang, where is Crumb Snatcher, yo?
I used
Crumb
to know.
Snatcher had some. I can't think of what song. Crumb Snatcher had a record.
Closer to God.
Closer to God. Woo! Yeah.
These are late 90s. Early 2000s DJ Premier records. We are so inaccessible on the show. It's amazing.
Yeah, this is straight up out of... This is like back in the Real audio days. There was a website called The Real, like THA-Real.com. And they used to like rip vinyl from like undergroundhiphop.com and stuff like that. Remember yeah. what undergroundhiphop... Remember when undergroundhiphop.com had like the streaming stuff?
Yep.
Man. So, like, they had the Big Pun and Cuban Link toe-to-toe vinyl with the Wu-Tang remix, the old school remix, and, man, the Mobb Deep remix, Prodigy Gun Love, Afu Ra Whirlwind Through Cities.
We're not talking about Afu Ra right now. By the way,
that record was dope. That album was terrible, but that record was dope.
We did a really good DJ Premier retrospective.
I know. You want to get back to this Joey album.
I'm trying to keep this show on track.
You're failing, and it's my fault.
You don't like Paper Trails, though? Because if you don't like Paper Trails, this is going to be a really quick track by track.
No, honestly, this album starts off slow and then it builds up for me.
Interesting. So I like Paper Trails. Track 4, Peace of Mind, produced by Freddie, what I think is Joaquim.
Oh, Freddie Joaquim. Yep. Shout out to Mellow Orange, shout out to Wes Pendleton. Yep. There you go.
Super 90s, obviously. And it's hard, it's funny. To listen to this, I want to critique a lot of this stuff. And then I realize, wait a minute, Doc, what kind of beats have you been making?
I thought about that too. I really feel like people would put a good chunk of Kairos alongside, in this discussion.
Except my drums are better.
You go.
It's hip hop, man. You start with the drums. Here's what I would say. I would say that there's a difference between being 90s inspired, right? Where you might sort of take a little bit from one thing and a little bit from another, and then you sort of do something with it. There's a difference between that and attempting to recreate an exact sound.
Right. Agreed.
And maybe I'm biased, right? Because I try to think that for a lot of my stuff, not all, but a lot of my stuff, especially lately, there's definitely a 90s thing going on, but there's different pieces going on. Some of these records basically sound like they're trying to recreate the Beat Miners circa 1995.
Mm.
You know, recreate it. Not like you hear it and you're like, oh, there's a little bit of that and they did this. No. So that would be my critique there. But for Peace of Mind, I kind of like it. I like that record. The hook sounds exactly like a Lupe Fiasco hook to me. Sounds like Lupe to me, but it works. I like there's a nice little run. Paper Trails, Peace of Mind, kind of works.
Mm-hmm.
You cool on Peace of Mind?
It's all right. It's cool.
Big Dusty, produced by Kirk Knight. How you feel about this?
Again, it's cool.
Yeah, I don't. So Joey Badass is interesting, right? I think the idea of Joey Badass is probably better than Joey Badass the MC.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's doing this 90s production, but when he goes to the more slowed down 90s production, all of a sudden you're really focusing on him.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a problem. But Big Dusty's all right. Haziest View.
I can't remember what song it was, but he said, I speak the truth like Sojourner.
Sounds like a common sense line.
No, that's my point. That is a 90, circa 96, 97, even maybe sooner than that, metaphor.
Mm.
I'm like,
I speak the truth like Sojourner.
There was a couple of those.
You know what common verse I forgot about? With the Beat Nuts on
Ooh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What was the name of the album? Musical Massacre?
I bring heat like the months that's east of May. Yeah, he really... Some lyrical schmirical bars on there.
Man, shout out to Common. I miss that Common.
That Beanuts album has some records.
Yeah, Musical Massacre. Yep, Beanuts Forever. It's one of my favorite beats ever.
Yeah, Beanuts Forever is a dope beat.
Yeah, Beanuts Forever is crazy.
Watch Out Now, of course, is...
Of course. Watch Out Now, what's the other record that they had?
Sakabo. The remix was
Sakabo with Method Man. But No Escaping This.
Oh, that's on the next album, right?
I know. Yeah, that was on Take It or Squeeze It. Yep.
There was a whole run of Beat Nuts party beats
party beats.
It's true. No Escaping This.
And then that's crazy. That was a party beat. No one's ready to deal with. Oh, that record is hard.
Oh.
I'm not going to play that on the show. I want to, but I'm not.
Yeah, you got a radio show coming up, right? Well, we talk about that later. All right, let's get to this Joey Badass. All right, let's go quick.
I'm playing it right now.
You're like, we're just going to intercept and play Beat Nuts records because we can.
I forgot about them getting Greg Nice on all those records. And I see E. Oh.
Turn it out.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Yeah. Oh my God! Oh, didn't Busta Rhymes have a record with Greg Nice? That's probably the loudest record ever, yo. Busta Rhymes, Greg Nice, and Fat Man Scoop just sounds like an argument, yo.
Fat Man Scoop, Crook and Clay. Yeah, you do.
Put your hands up. Oh Jesus! Okay, artifact. Joey.
Like Me, featuring BJ the Chicago Kid, produced by Jay Dilla and The Roots.
Oh, okay.
How do you feel about this?
See, this to me is when the album goes in a different direction. I like this record.
I like it. I'll tell you, it's funny. I really like the execution. Like, he really has a commitment to, like, recreating a certain sound. I'll give him that. It's a good song. I don't love it, but it's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like Belly the Beast.
Belly the Beast is dope.
Produced by Hit-Boy.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
See, what I was talking before about, like, the difference between being influenced by the 90s and attempting to recreate it.
Yes.
There's 90s influences, but it's not attempting to recreate it.
Yes.
It's a much needed song on this album.
Yes. Did you hear that Audio Push record with, what's that dude's name? Dang.
I'm just going to go ahead and say
OG
no.
OG Mecco?
I'm just going to go ahead and say no, because I'd never listen to Audio Push.
Yo, they can rap.
I know.
They can rap. I know, it's just something about them that's like missing, right? I think we talked about that.
We did.
But the beat that Hit-Boy does, it samples, what is it sample? It samples something crazy. The beginning of Fuji La. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. And all three of them are like rapping on that record. That record's dope.
Dude, anyway. I need to listen to that. But yeah, shout out to Hit-Boy. I like Belly the Beast a lot. It's different too, like, because there's definitely like, there's like a couple songs that you're listening to it and you're like, wait, which song is this again? They like start to blend together.
Yeah, that's how I feel about the first few tracks on this album.
Interesting.
I feel like they just kind of like, they blend together. But now I feel like we're about to hit a stretch of songs that I really like.
Interesting. Number 99, produced by Static Selecta.
Yeah, this one's cool.
Yeah, it's all right. It's cool. I don't have anything else to say about it. Christ Conscious, produced by Basquiat, really?
Somebody's been listening to Jay-Z.
Oh, stop it. Hashtag new rules. This sounds like five of the songs on here.
Yes.
Okay. This is number 99 and in Christ Conscious. Those two, they just sound like, yeah.
Especially coming off of Like Me and Belly of the Beast. I'm like, nah, they really could have cut this and went straight to On and On. Cause I love On and On.
It's funny. Cause yeah, On and On produced by Freddie Joaquin. Is that right?
Oh, it's Freddie Joaquin again. Okay.
It's a smooth record. Very smooth. Yep. It's not bad.
Record's dope. I like it a lot.
As soon as it comes on though, I know exactly where it's going. It's just one of those records where like you hear it and you know exactly what the drums are going to sound like.
I felt like that about another song on this album. It's funny you mentioned that. I just realized that.
Yeah. There are definitely some records where like I hear the intro and I'm already doing like the drum pattern. Like,
yep.
120, produced by Chuck Strangers.
If I remember right, I like this beat.
You think it's going to be slow.
Yeah. And then there's a couple of records like that.
Right. And then the drums come in and you're like, oh
yeah, there's a couple of records that where he switches it up. He's rapping over like some drum and bass,
right?
EDM sort of. Yeah, I like it though.
I bet this record's gonna work live.
A couple of these records, was it number 99? I think number 99 is gonna work well live. There's a few of these, like a lot of these songs I hear in dusty hip hop clubs. I just saw him on stage performing them in dusty hip hop clubs that fit like 150, 200 people. So he knows his audience. It reminded me of Run the Jewels, where Run the Jewels were like, we are making festival music.
Yeah.
Like, sonically, we are going to perform these records live. We did that. I felt like he did that with this album. There's a lot of these records I could totally see him doing live.
Black Beatles, produced by Chuck Strangers.
I love this record too.
It's pretty chill. It's a real chill song.
I like this record a lot too.
It's cool. I really like OCB though.
OCB is super dope too.
Produced by, is this, I guess, Semi-Am and the Soul Rebels? I feel like it's kind of buried in the album.
Yeah, these few records right here, Black Beatles, OCB, Curry Chicken, like the end of this album is like really, now that I think about it, the sequencing kind of hurts it.
Yeah, I mean, this could have been 12. Like it's his first like major label album. This could have been 12 tracks, and it could have been something.
I still think it's something.
There's some fat here.
There's some fat. But I still feel like he did what I feel like he. I feel like he. I guess we're jumping ahead.
I was gonna say.
It,
so you like Curry Chicken?
Curry Chicken's dope.
It's the best Static Selecta beat on the album.
Yeah.
And that's really, for me, it's because of the upbeat tempo. Like, I think Joey sounds better a little faster.
Mm. Most rappity rappers do.
Mm. Got to get them. Right. You got to get them in that, like, 95 BPM zone.
Yep. Yep.
Run Up On You. Bonus track with Action and L. Varner. And
my ex-girlfriend, yeah.
Produced by Static.
I feel like this record could have worked if they would have cleaned up the content. I feel like it's too vulgar, but I feel like this could have worked.
When you first hear the beat, you almost think that Static's going to go into a full-on, like, Primo impersonation.
And yeah, the drums totally go in a different direction.
I was kind of like, for a moment, I was like, you know, I kind of wanted that 98 Primo impersonation. Like, he was close.
I didn't. I actually like the drums on this. They remind me of like the 95, 96 Bahamadia. Like, I like the vibe that the drums bring on this.
Nobody has any idea what we're talking about right now.
I don't care. Bahamadia, you know how we do. Oh, another crazy Primo beat, Three the Hard Way.
That's a good record. Yeah.
Woo!
Turn this into DJ Premier Appreciation Hour.
Yo. Yeah, man. Well, Bahamadia has some joints, yo. True Honey Buns. Yeah, that Bahamadia album was dope.
And finally, the last bonus track, Teach Me, produced by Chuck Strangers.
I appreciate the effort. I knew he was doing something completely different.
Yeah, but the tempo doesn't really work for me. And he just sounds like a regular rapper here.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's kind of the interesting thing about this album. Like, it's so dripping in nostalgia. Like, you kind of miss that Joey Badass is not a great rapper. He's not bad. I think he's just good. Right, and he's emulating an era where, and maybe, you know, maybe people sort of look back with rose tinted glasses, but he's emulating an era that was known for its MCing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right, but it, to me, like, and again, I'm showing my bias because I came up in this era. Like, you plop him back 20 years ago, and I don't think anybody cares.
He might be curious.
He might be curious.
Yeah, I don't know if we really going underground now. Yeah, he might be curious with the K. Y'all definitely don't know.
Thanks for clarifying that, because I don't think anybody.
Nah, curious. He had what was the name of the song? The beat that he rapped over. No, I'm thinking of Milkbone. I'm sorry. Curious had the song. I'm curious.
Milkbone.
He could have been Milkbone. Keep it real. Some of y'all know that as the Big L and Jay-Z freestyle, but it was Milkbone. Keep it real.
I got those pianos in my head.
Yeah, those pianos will be making a return very, very soon to the musical landscape. Nah, I sent you that record, right? Pretty sure I did. I sent you that record. I know I sent you that record.
Anyway, right. We'll talk off.
All right. So all in all, with this album, what you think?
I think there's some good records. I don't know if I like it. I found myself wanting to hate it because I don't like the entire idea of Joey Badass. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, the nostalgia, like, yeah, it has to be presented in the right way. Because it's like, hey guys, remember this? Like, this is one thing I don't like about nostalgia. Like I can't talk about, like, Illegal and Curious, and I can't talk about the episode of Yo MTV Raps when Leaders of the New School were, like, obviously beefing and you could, like, sense the tension when they were walking downtown with Fab Five Freddy, or the episode of Yo MTV Raps when N.W.A. was on the back of that truck. Like, people don't remember that. They're like, hey, you guys don't know anything about this. And it's like TLC Creep. You know what I'm saying? So, like, nostalgia for a lot of people is, like, really, really obvious. But it's not really nostalgia, because I think that stuff is still in the culture to a degree. And what Joey does is still in the culture. It's not really nostalgic enough to me. Like, for me, if you want to be nostalgic, shout out to my man Zero Star, who rocks Cross Colors all the time. You know what I'm saying? Bring that back. Bring Carl Kanai back. I just bought a repeat three-peat shirt. Bring those back. They don't know nothing about that. Woo. You know what I'm saying? Like, bring that back. Like, don't let Jordan retros be the only retro shoes you get. Get the Gray Hills. Get the Gray Hill 1 and 2s. Get the Jerry Stackhouses.
Don't get the Jerry Stackhouses.
Nah, the Stack 2s were dope. Don't play me.
Hold on. I got to remember which Stackhouses I have.
Those are the ones with the two lines on the side. Because they're coming out with some gray ones in a couple days that are hard. Nah, don't. Go ahead and look up Fila Stack 2.
Fila Stack 2. Hold on.
Those were dope. Don't play me, Doc. Don't play me.
Those were better. The Stack ones are awful.
I don't remember.
And I know I had them.
Hold on, let me see what the stuff
is. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you bugging. Hold up.
Awful. I had them. Awful.
Nah. The original colorway was dope.
Right. I had them in black and white. It was no good.
You know, the black and white ones are terrible. All feelers look best in the red, white, and blue
color. Gotta have the red, white, and blue.
Yeah, anything other than that is like all types of not.
The other problem is like I have big feet, so some shoes look better.
Right.
Like that's not a shoe that looks good in a size 13.
Yeah, nah, my Grant Hills look good in a size 13.
Not the original Stackhouses. It looks like you're going to the moon. You got astronaut shoes on.
Like the, what was the name of those shoes that Doug had? What was the name of that? Oh, and he only could get them in like a size 14, and they were like bigger than his legs. He couldn't walk. Whatever. See, now I gotta look this up too. All right, give me your opinion on this. Or did you already? You already gave it.
It's better than I thought it would be. I'll say that much. The sequencing's all wrong. There's a lot of fat.
Sky Davis was the name of those shoes. Sky Davis.
There's some fat. It would be. I mean, I sound like a broken record. I say this about every album. I think it'd be better at like 12 tracks. It's interesting. There are some records on here that I really like.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What do you think?
I agree. I think that I was not expecting this. I'll say that. I think I kind of wanted to hate it too because of the idea. I'm like, oh, another bring back the 90s, bringing real hip hop back. Another one of those dudes. I'm good. And you're right. Joey doesn't, other than like his, I liked his slapping babies at the christening line. Like, I think he's like, something like when Biggie slapped me at my christening, like that was dope. But he's a serviceable rapper and he's just kind of like,
job done.
Yeah, he'll get the job done. Like, I don't know. Who's a basketball player who's an NBA player who will get the job done. Just like, all right, he's good.
Serviceable.
I see his name in my, he's a point guard. I think he plays for Chicago now. He used to play for, Houston. Aaron Brooks. He's serviceable. He'll get the job done.
If you're comparing Joey Badass to Aaron Brooks, Joey Badass has problems.
He'll get the job done. He'll come off the bench. He'll give you what you need. He's, what's the old man that used to play for Denver? Andre, not Iguodala.
Miller?
Andre Miller.
Don't do He'll Andre Miller. Nah, Miller's better than that. But I hear you. Well, that's, I mean...
But the records that I liked, I really liked.
So right now, for young dudes out of New York, you got Action, you got Joey.
You got Schmurda, you got Troy Ave, still got French.
ASAP.
You got ASAP. I'm only paying attention to Bronson right now. I feel like I'm going to like ASAP's album more than I believe. I feel like his album's going to surprise me. You know, because I'm not the biggest ASAP fan. I feel like he's going to kill this year. But I'm only paying attention to Bronson right now.
What would be kind of interesting is like I wonder what the like who do you think the audience is for this Joey Badass album? Is it meant to be like for older heads like us,
bloggers on the internet,
the equivalent of comic book guys in hip hop?
Yes, comic book guys. Yes.
So does this do a good enough job of hitting like the nostalgia vein?
I think it does.
Yeah,
I think he did his job.
Okay.
I think he did his job. If you want that nostalgic feel without having to go back and listen to stuff from 94 to 96, this is your vein. Like this is tailor made for you.
You and I were talking a little earlier this week about sort of nostalgia and hip hop.
Yeah.
And yeah. As the years go by, the way that people think about certain albums evolves, right? You look back and you remember. It get like the music kind of gets caught up with your fond memories of, oh, I was in high school or I was in college then.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden albums that were just okay become like, oh, that's a classic.
Yeah.
You gave me an example this week that almost made me fall out of my chair. You want to talk about this? How did this come about?
Yeah, because
I want to talk about this concept a little bit. And I think this is a really good example to use.
I saw The Lox We Are the Streets turned 15 years old. A couple days ago, and people were like clamoring over that album, like, yo, this album is a classic. And I was like, I remember the day that We Are the Streets came out because I took my lunch money. I used to get $20 a week, mm-hmm. balling, and I would just kind of like, I took that $20 and I went to this the CD spot that was a walk away from my high school, and I bought that album. The album has classic records, but nobody was like, yo, this album is classic. Nobody said that. Now all of a sudden it's like classic and it's amazing and it's the greatest album ever. And
right. I was just looking at the track list for this. So it was Wild Out.
No, I don't. Nobody likes Wild Out because it sounded too much like Jigga.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of Swiss on here.
There's a lot of Swiss. Is this the tail end of Swiss's run, his initial run? This is when he's like everywhere.
Right, because this is 2000 and then we get Ride or Die Volume 2, right?
I need to hear that album again.
No, you don't. Oof.
Yes, I do. Twisted Heat. Go ahead.
Speaking of keyboard melodies that'll make you laugh, Twisted Heat.
Oh my god! Yo! You cannot slander Twisted Heat, and I'm laughing because it's so true. I'll never forget. I went to summer school that year. I failed biology. That's when I first learned I could skip class and not get in trouble. So my sophomore year of high school, I used to skip class all the time, and kept skipping biology. I failed it. I had to go to summer school. And I bought that Ride or Die Volume 2 album. That came out the same week as Nelly Country Grammar. I remember that because I bought Ride or Die Volume 2, and my sister bought Country Grammar. And the first time I heard Twisted Heat, I thought it was the greatest song ever.
Right. The beat switch, I was just like, whoa.
What? Like Twista with a murder of bouncy beats. My flow be philosophical. Ah! Achieving all missions impossible. I was like, yo, but now I'm hearing it in my head. Oh, God.
Get ignorant.
No! 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 You are not ruining my high school. Okay. Like,
it's all good, man.
There's a study.
We're getting scientific now. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to be scientific. That there's basically a correlation between the things that we experience in our teenage years and like our hormones and our development, which causes us to, you know, emotionally connect to stuff because of what it represents as far as our personal lives. And I think that's what we're doing here with this example of the locks.
Like, totally.
You know, in the year 2000, you were 16, you were 17, you were in high school, you were in middle school. This was popping. That was popping. You liked this girl. You wanted these shoes. All your friends used to do this after school. And it like enhances, whether it be the music or whatever was on TV or the movies or whatever it was that was engaging you at that time, it completely like embellishes it.
I think part of it too is just, and you know, it'll be really interesting to see what happens when people who, when we hear music that was really like in the MP3 era,
oof,
where it'll be interesting to see how nostalgic, because I think part of it too is like when I bought, like basically that winter, I bought the D'Angelo album, I bought Supreme Clientele, and I bought the Lox album. Mm. And that had to carry me for like a month or two.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I must have listened. I listened to Blood Pressure a lot.
Yo, yes.
Jadakiss made an entire reputation off of Blood Pressure.
Yes, he did. And what he, well, yeah, Blood Pressure, and then what he did off Ride or Die Volume 1.
Right.
Blood Money. Yeah, those records, and then All for the Love, like, those records. But yeah, Blood Pressure definitely was like, yo.
Right.
What was the Primo song on We Are the Streets? Was that Recognize?
Recognize.
Yeah. Do we argue over which one was better between Recognize and None of Y'all Better? I feel like we did.
Probably None of Y'all Better. It's a better beat.
Yeah, you bugging.
I don't like that Recognize beat.
Yeah, you're bugging.
Man, I forgot about Ride or Die Chick. They had to get that Timbo single.
They did. I like the rock Prada suits. Yeah. Prada suits. Prada suits.
Timbaland got the little whistle in there. I'm just destroying our childhood right now. It's awful.
God, Ride or Die Chick. There was, what else? F.U. was classic. She killed that. I still say there was that period in time where Sheik used to wash Jada and Styles. People don't want to admit that.
It was early on.
It was early on. It was early on.
I think he's the best of the three on Benjamins, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
What y'all want to do?
Anyway, nostalgia, man. So we could. This is not a classic album, right?
And we have no.
And so I got to ask you: are there any other? So like, there, you know, we. It's funny. Like you'd think we. I almost thought we would have heard more about it. Is it officially the 15th anniversary of Supreme Clientele yet?
Yeah.
So I feel
it'd like probably be a couple months from now.
Oh no! No, it was 2 days ago.
Oh word! I didn't even see that.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at this track list for We Are the Streets. Breathe Easy was fire.
See, you're going to talk yourself into acknowledging. You're going to be like, you know, maybe this is. No.
No. Okay. It's F.U., Breathe Easy, Blood Pressure, Recognize, and maybe We Are the Streets where they diss Puff. That was it. The rest of the album was like, nah.
There were some bad records.
Yeah, there were. Scream L.O.X.? Yeah.
I kind of thought that the 15th anniversary of Supreme Clientele might get a little more love.
Yeah.
Because that's at the time. Well, first of all, what that album actually kicks off, like Blueprint doesn't exist without that album.
Yeah.
The careers of Kanye West and Just Blaze are not the same.
And they'll tell you that.
Dipset does not exist without this album.
Yep. Yep.
So like so
this album birthed like 5 years of music.
Right.
Classic music.
Yeah. And
absolutely.
And this is one of those albums where, like, it's not that, you know, we have to, it's not like, oh, we look back and now that I think about it, yes, it was classic album. Like, at the time, people knew it was great.
No. I remember I was shocked when it got 4.5 mics in The Source. Because normally, like, I don't want to say it was, like, general consensus, but, like, I think we knew that the album was good, but when The Source gave it 4.5 mics, we were like, whoa, it was a thing.
And sometimes 4.5 was almost even better than 5 in a sense. Like,
yes. Yes, it was.
Because 4.5 meant it's really, really dope, but politically, for some reason, we can't give it 5.
Yep.
Especially in the later years.
Yep. Yep. But yeah, very few albums got 4.5. I mean, shoot, Doggy Style got 4.5.
Okay.
Doggy Style got 4. I remember Black Rob, Life Story got 4.5. I remember The Truth got 4.5.
That's fair. Wait, 4.5 for The Truth? That's a little high.
That's high. So you think Life Story deserve 4.5 mics?
I love that album, but that's a little high.
Nah. It's got some classic songs.
Yeah.
Not 4.5 mics, nah. But when this got 4.5 mics, everybody was like, yep.
So we've talked to try to wrap this up, or at least get to an ending here. Like, we've talked before about sort of, you know, we went through this initial wave of 90s nostalgia, right, where there are projects that people now look back on differently, right? Very famous example, of course, is Reasonable Doubt.
Yep.
Right, where you now, it's just acknowledged as, of course, it's classic, right? At the time, no.
Nah.
Right, people knew it was
I never forget that review. The Source review was like, we've heard this before. There's nothing new. Like, it's got some good records, but it's whatever. And this is 1996, one of the best years for hip-hop albums ever. And yeah, it was very much like forgettable. Like, Jay, Revisionist History would tell you that that album was like immediately embraced by the masses, and it was not.
Right. So like we've already talked a little bit about that. And what'd be really interesting to me is what albums nostalgia happens to pick up as time goes on.
Yeah, true, true, true. We're starting to get that with Kanye's albums.
I feel like people forget how good he is. I feel he is becoming amazingly underappreciated.
I feel like people don't talk about like the mistakes. Like, hey, Late Registration is like 12 songs too long.
It is.
Hey, you know, missteps on College Dropout.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
probably because he got it right on Graduation, but Graduation was the right length. There might have been one or two songs that were all right, but the rest were all, you know, great to amazing.
Right.
So maybe those don't get talked about. But I believe nostalgia is starting to grab some of these projects. And I think that's why you and I do these retrospectives, right? Right. We do it on two. It's like you have to treat nostalgia. You have to be careful with it, because on one hand, you can enjoy it and we can, you know, like Twisted Heat. Like we could say, yo, when that song came out, oh, my God, that was amazing, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But now to listen to it with different ears, we're older. Music has progressed. You can kind of accept it for what it is, or you can make the choice to not accept it for what it is. No, Twisted Heat is going to be amazing forever.
It's interesting to see what, like I said, what albums nostalgia grabs. Like, I was just thinking, like, I feel like history has not been kind to DMX. Right?
So you really just touched the soft spot. You just touched like an open wound with me.
So now
people forget that DMX was bigger than Jay-Z.
Huge.
Jay-Z was opening for DMX on that Hard Knock Life tour. Jay-Z was going on before X. X was closing that show.
I think,
and there was a time where Ja Rule was bigger than Jay-Z too.
For like 5 minutes. But
still there. Still a moment.
Right. So I mean, Ja Rule, like work now. I mean, I hope you're prepared. People are about to get nostalgic for Ja Rule, Nelly.
They're doing it now.
Fab, that first Fab and Jadakiss album, that nostalgia train will be coming in a year or two.
Yeah. This definitely happened with Murder, Inc. right now. I actually did it like 2 years ago. I had a road trip and I just listened to like Murder, Inc. for like an hour and a half. And I was like, oh, remember this? And I'm listening to like Do I Do. I'm listening to like Living It Up and like...
Doing kicks.
Yeah, the records that I hated, like, oh, I hate Ja Rule.
You just want to do a kick off a helicopter, that's all.
Absolutely. Oh, uh-huh. Don't let me get a budget. Don't let me get a budget for Kairos 2. Oh, I'm spending all my money on the helicopter just so I can do a Liu Kang bicycle kick out of it. Like, yeah, but yeah, you're right.
So, the only thing I can, and let me close by saying this. Like, having said all that, I'm totally not opposed to nostalgia. Like, I think nostalgia totally has its place and it can be awesome. Like, it's great to like sort of remember, like, you think back and you're like, oh man, I used to play that record so many, I used to play that song over and over again, or I knew every word to that verse. But you just got to know that you're talking about nostalgia. You know what I mean? It's like, you got to know that you're putting those rose tinted glasses on. Like, otherwise, you fool yourself into thinking that it was always that way.
You have to know.
I just got deep for a moment.
Yeah, no, for real. You have to understand that it is. You have to acknowledge it. You have to acknowledge it for what it is, but you also need to, put it in the place that it was in your life. Definitely. I wanted to know what you were doing, because when I talked to you about this, you said it was sort of how rock was, and I'm not familiar enough with rock music to know, like, how rock music deals with nostalgia or dealt with nostalgia. Can you break that down for me?
Yeah, I can do a little bit, and I'll probably make some mistakes, so everybody please correct me. Use the hashtag ClockRadioSpeakers on Twitter. But generally speaking, I like to draw a parallel between what happened to rock in the 60s and what happened to hip-hop in the 90s, where what happened to rock in the 60s, obviously aside from the Beatles and sort of them blowing up and becoming the biggest band in the world, but it matured, like, in terms of how it was recorded, how it sounded, and some incredibly iconic music was created in the 60s, right? And then 70s rock, there was really great stuff, but in many ways it sort of kind of was a reaction to that. And then it starts to splinter, where you get like punk over here, and then all of a sudden you have like disco, which isn't rock at all, but it becomes very popular. And then disco kind of crashes, and you have 80s, which is, there's a certain pop sound. And on the rock side, you get like weird guitar, like hair metal, and like it doesn't settle down. Like, and then you get like sort of a revival of rock in the 90s. And so along the way, you get to a point where rock becomes more than just like, okay, we're listening to rock music, and you get like classic rock radio stations and stuff like that. Like, basically, rock stayed around long enough for it to mutate and not die. And then there became this nostalgia thing, like the emergence of the classic rock radio station, right?
Yeah.
That never really happened. It took, basically, rock had to be around long enough for people to be nostalgic of youth. And now hip hop has been out certainly long enough where people are nostalgic about the stuff from the youth. And the parallels to me, between 60s rock and 90s hip hop, we've talked about in the show, like, you can distinctly tell the difference between something that was recorded in 1993 and something recorded in 1996, right? It sounds, I'm going to say, better in terms of sound quality. Like, it became, like, the recording techniques became more sophisticated. Like, there was just, it got to a point where, there's, when you try to think, does this sound old? There's like sort of techniques that can be used, but then there's like a sound quality thing. And like stuff really like Illmatic's like right on that line, like that 94, 95 barrier, stuff before then just sounds like older. You know what I mean? Stuff afterwards, it sounds old because of the techniques, but in terms of sound quality, like it's still right there. You know what I mean? So hip-hop kind of really, I don't want to say grew up in the 90s, because people who came up in the 80s are going to be all up in arms. But, like, I don't think it's any accident now that, with the exception of LL Cool J, who went to acting and really prolonged his media career. With the exception of LL Cool J, it wasn't until, like, that 90s group of rappers where you had the first real instances of guys staying around a really long time, right? I mean, really the equivalent of the Rolling Stones. You know what I mean? Like, that sort of thing. Like, we finally have those first examples. I mean, sounds weird to say that, but that's like Jay-Z, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Where his best stuff is way in the past.
Yeah.
He's occasionally going to have a relevant song or maybe even a relevant album that's out, but he has a rep. He'll be able to tour forever. You know what I mean? Like, hip-hop is now getting at a stage, and it's no accident that we are now seeing the introduction of classic hip-hop radio stations.
Yep.
And they're doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We're just getting to that sort of point, right? So, and you can even draw even weirder parallels, right? I mean, sort of like how a really hardcore rock fan might say that, oh, you know, in the 80s, rock kind of lost its way with, you know, like hair metal bands and stuff like that. And it was kind of glossy and it was kind of weird. And it wasn't until the 90s that it got back kind of a little bit back to its roots. Like, you could totally draw comparisons to say what happened to hip hop with snap rap and the ringtone era, like all that. Like, it has simply evolved and matured and kind of twisted. And we're now at a place where I really think that hip hop will simply, it'll become bigger than just, oh, well, that's a hip hop song. Like, you can say that's a rock song, but, oh, that's an alternative song, or that's a punk song, or that's a this, you know what I mean? I feel like hip hop has gotten to that place. Now, the sort of interesting thing is that, of course, other music styles have adopted stuff from hip hop. So maybe it won't really do that. You know what I mean? Like, punk became punk. It's not like punk was really popular and then, say, 70s soul music adopted elements of punk. Like, that's not how that worked. Whereas now, when something's really popular, like other genres adopt elements of it. You know what I mean? So it's a little different. Yeah. But I just, long story short, I think we are now at a place where basically our generation and the generation, you know, basically people who are in their 30s, even people who are in their 40s, like, they are in their, you know, they're still got a lot of money to spend, still got a lot of time to spend listening to the radio. There will inevitably be things that cater to this group, right? So we're going to get classic hip hop stations. We're going to get classic tours. We're going to get this sort of stuff. It's going to be a replay of what happened with rock, to me.
Yeah.
I mean, there's going to be slight differences, but that's what I meant by that. That was a little rambling, but hopefully that made sense.
I got it. Makes total sense.
And again, much like that, like, nostalgia, like, you know, it, I mean, do you remember the 90s? Remember the rock band Oasis?
Yeah.
Right. They sounded like, they sort of tried to sound a little bit like a 60s rock band.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That was part of that nostalgia. So I'm not at all surprised that we have dudes like Joey Badass. Right. I'm almost surprised we don't have more.
Right.
So, I don't know. I guess, you know, I say we'll see what happens. But eventually, you have to suspect that it'll be New York hip-hop's time in the sun again. You know, as things in hip-hop kind of move and evolve, like, eventually people will get sick of trap beats. You know, we'll move on to something different. And I wonder if, because right now I feel like, you know, this will be the last thing I can say about nostalgia, because we're probably going a little long here. New York, I feel, is particularly susceptible to nostalgia. If only because their glory years were so great. You know what I mean? I think West Coast hip hop had a little bit of that problem too. Like, they really hung on to that 90s Death Row sound for a really long time.
Absolutely. And even, you know, when the West Coast fell off, like, after, I guess, probably the dissolving of Death Row and the death of Tupac, West Coast kind of fell off. Snoop was around here and there, but there was no real resurgence until Game. And Game was just like an updated rehash of what gangster rap was doing in the 80s and 90s. Up until maybe recently, even Nipsey Hussle. I'm a huge Nipsey Hussle fan, but he's a throwback to Snoop, who's a throwback to N.W.A. I guess you probably would say who am I thinking of? Three guys. We always talk about them, how underrated they were.
Oh, Pac Div.
There's like a resurgence Thursday, even a little bit of Dom Kennedy to a degree, you know, and then ultimately TDE. Like, they're probably the first major examples of the West Coast not sounding like, you know, they came out of Menace to Society.
Mm.
It took them a while to let that go.
Right. So as nostalgia sort of comes back around for some of this stuff, you know, well, actually, I'll close with this. I realize I've tried to end this show now like 8 times. Hip-hop, you know, New York hip-hop has been sort of searching for like its new direction at the same time when nostalgia for its glory years has really been at a peak. When the nostalgia wave starts to creep a little bit more into the 2000s, you know, it'll be really interesting to see what, you know, see if that has any effect on Atlanta. You know, are we gonna get like nostalgia eventually? Like, we still got a couple years for that. We gonna get nostalgia for like Lil Jon?
Yes, I did. Maybe about a month ago.
Right. It'll happen.
It's going to happen because Trapadad just turned 10 years old.
Right. So like
that was like the beginning.
Atlanta will have to wrestle with some of this stuff for the first time. Mm-hmm. Like they have a little bit with Outkast, but Outkast is held in such a high regard that it's a little different.
Right. No, it's going to be like, yo, remember the Youngbloods? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Remember Purple Ribbon Gang?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like it's gonna go deep.
In a way, I think for that nostalgia wave to eventually sweep out of the New York hip hop glory years.
True. I agree.
Anything else you want to say about nostalgia?
No.
Anything else you want to talk about? You want to plug?
Yeah. This Friday, I know it's kind of late. Probably should have did this on Saturday. This Friday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, I will be on the Pulse Radio. I'll just be playing random joints and dropping bombs and random sound effects over these records for 2 hours. So that'll be on. Just follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, and you'll be able to figure out how you can tune in, because you will be able to listen from wherever you are. So yeah, 8 p.m., 10 p.m. Eastern, I'll be playing records. And then, I need to talk to you about some stuff offline too. Garden it.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening. I realize it's been a long episode of Clock Radio Speakers, but I hope you all appreciate it. Use the hashtag Clock Radio Speakers. Let us know what you think. And hopefully be back next week.